mercy and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There is a series of books that we used to read to our son. They're intended for babies and for toddlers, and they all begin with, "That's Not My." So one of the books in that series is called, "That's Not My Lamb." And each page has a picture of a lamb and a part of the lamb's body that you could touch. There were different types of textures. So, for example, one was a spotted lamb, and it says, "That's not my lamb. Its spots are too fluffy." Another page, you can see the sheep or the lamb, and you can see that its back has a texture that you can touch, and it says, "That's not my lamb. Its back is too fuzzy." Finally, on the last page, it shows a lamb. It shows ears that you can touch, and it says, "That's my lamb. Its ears are so soft." Perhaps we need not a touch and feel book, but a book for Christians called "That's Not My Shepherd." An obvious one would include perhaps a picture of the devil and say, "That's not my shepherd. He is not just too evil, but he is evil." You see, Jesus says that his sheep know him and they know his voice. And Peter says that God's people were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of their souls. As it is written in Ezekiel, our Lord God shepherds his people, brings them together into his flock. Christians, though, need to recognize that they can easily be shepherded astray if they do not place their true good shepherd first in their lives. So, to use the language of that book, false teachers are not my shepherd. For false teachers lie. They tear us away from the pure doctrine as recorded in the scriptures. As they are described in the Bible, they are wolves, but yet they often appear innocent like sheep or lambs. Their lies can be subtle, but yet we must always be on guard. They are not our shepherd. In the same or in another manner, the government is not my shepherd. While we certainly find much good in our government, we must not look to it in all times of trouble as if it could be our Messiah. God certainly establishes government, yet sinful people whom God appoints run it. Perhaps we need to remember the words of JFK, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." Related to this, we could also say, "Joe Biden or Donald Trump is not my shepherd." Related to that, the Democratic Party is not my shepherd. The Republican Party is not my shepherd. We are seeing way too much partisanship these days as elected leaders are not representing their people, but they are towing the line within their political parties. And we, too, as citizens, must remember that one party or the next is not our shepherd. While it is certainly good for us to engage in our civic duty, exercising our rights to vote and be informed, if we find ourselves getting angry over all the political issues that are going on, we ought to take a step back, turn off that media which is feeding us, and commend it all to the Lord in prayer. As Christians, after all, we know that God is ultimately in charge anyway, and he will take care of us, for that government that gives us so much angst is not our shepherd. This also means Fox News and NBC and CNN or any other media outlet is not my shepherd. We certainly can learn current events through them, but since they expose our hearts and minds to all sorts of evil in society, being reported to us as the latest news that is going on, we must limit ourselves with them or we too will fall. Ask yourself, Are you shepherded more hours per week in the Word of God or in these stations that come across as presenting news? Related to that, social media is not my shepherd. Society, as you know, is becoming increasingly agitated. We see anger all around us. Social media is spewing hate in ways spun around to make it look like justice is being served or rights are being defended. Systemic this or that is being presented to make those in any type of majority guilty of crimes which they did not commit. Americans spend countless hours being fed and fueled by mind-changing, thoughtless, and loveless social media. It's not our shepherd. Video games are not my shepherd. They're addictive. They can be mind-numbing as they callous our consciences to violence. A man once told me when he saw his grandson spending countless hours playing video games but could not get his catechism memory work done, "I just wish that there could be some sort of video game that would help them memorize the catechism," as if that could be the silver bullet to help his grandson. Contemporary music is not my shepherd. Many think the way to save our youth and preserve them in the church is to get the church to match the musical preference of the youth. But what is that musical preference that the youth have? What style is it? Most contemporary Christian music is stuff that the society had used 20 or 30 years ago, and it's now made that style into the church. And plus, the youth have no single musical preference. The church cannot incorporate rap, country, pop, hard rock, soft rock, techno, screamo, alternative, you name it, to match what is supposedly some sort of single style to retain the youth. How about offering that which has its roots in Bible times and which boldly confesses our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? That is, why not continue doing what we are doing as Christ is boldly presented to his people? Television is not my shepherd. In addition to the church trying to match the professionals in their secular music, many in the church are now trying to match Hollywood or the NFL through dramatic presentations. But there's no way that the church can present a well-orchestrated media event that will match, say, Amazon's upcoming TV series on The Lord of the Rings. There's no church that has a budget that could produce something as expensive as that Lord of the Rings series, which is going to cost in its first season a record-breaking $465 million. If we try to get the society to match, or if we try to get the church to match what society can do through some sort of dramatic presentation, not only do we lose focus of who our true shepherd is, but we also are not serving our people with our Savior. If we recognize our true shepherd, we would in fact not even be tempted to turn the church into a concert or media hall, for they do not shepherd us. Do you know what all of these lack that cannot be matched by what you already have here? With the pure proclamation of the word, the presentation of Christ in his very presence, what cannot be matched by any of these is the personal reality of your Savior. While the media and the government, they do not know you. You might know an effective or an elective leader once in a while. You might know a famous person once in a while. But for most of them, if you write to them, they probably will not read your letter personally. And you'll likely get a canned response that is sent by not that person, but by a staff member. Instead, all of these other shepherds out there who are leading us astray ultimately do not care about us. The Lord is our shepherd. We heard Jesus today in our gospel speak, "I am the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He is the one who lays down his life for the sheep. Unlike ordinary shepherds who made their living off of the sheep, Jesus made it possible for his sheep, that is for you, to live and to have a living, to have a purpose, to have a life, to be called a child of God. For not only did God create you and gave you the opportunity to live, but he now gives you that opportunity to receive eternal life. For Jesus, our good shepherd, laid down his life for the sheep. That is, he went to the cross. He was willing to be held guilty in our place. As the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all, he shed his innocent blood on the cross in order to serve as the ransom payment for our sin, to atone for our sin, and to reconcile us to our Father in heaven. Jesus, who died on the cross, rose victoriously on the grave, from the grave, which means that he lives to shepherd you. He is personally interested in who you are, and you ought to be personally interested in who he is, for he loves you and he cares for you. He has prepared a heavenly home for you so that you can dwell with him to all eternity. The Lord is my shepherd. He receives me, a sinner, into his fold. He has baptized me into his family. Jesus is now my brother, and he feeds me his body and his blood for the forgiveness of all of my sin. I am counted by him as being as righteous as he himself is. The Lord is my shepherd. He loves me every day the same, even calls me by my name. I am the apple of his eye. He numbers the very hairs of my head. That is how precious I am to him. The Lord is my shepherd. He defends me from all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. The Lord is my shepherd. He gently guides me. He knows my need and well provides me. The Lord is my shepherd. He feeds me. He not only gives me what I need to live in this life, but he also feeds me with his word and sacraments so that I have what is required to attain eternal life. The Lord is my shepherd. Upon his resurrection, he established the office of pastor so that his word would have free course among us and be spread throughout the world. And so Christ continues to raise up pastors after his own heart to declare to God's people the wonderful works of God. He establishes churches so that God's people can hear the true voice of their good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He is kind to me. He never lets me down. He never misleads me or deceives me. He is always there for me. He hears all my prayers. He answers them all in accordance to his good and gracious will. The Lord is my shepherd. He is the Word made flesh. He's not some distant God who exists somewhere far, far away, but he is our Emmanuel, God with us. He has presented to us his word and his very self. His word is sure and certain. Nothing he says is false, and he is only concerned with teaching us the truth. A man in history who is also concerned with the truth is a man named Martin Luther. Of course, he's not the Lord, and he isn't the Good Shepherd. Yet his writings, which have been drawn from the Scripture, have certainly shepherded those who have listened to him. After learning true doctrine as recorded in the Bible, he would not allow false teachers and false teachings to shepherd him, for he would only be shepherded by his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 500 years ago, was the Reformation. The church observed that with the 500th anniversary of the nailing of the 95 Theses on the castle church door in Wittenberg, which Luther did on October 31st, 1517. 3.5 years go by since we celebrated that event. The Reformation is, of course, still going on. That is the 500th anniversary of it. 500 years ago at this time, Luther was being bullied, as he had already been excommunicated from the church for clinging to the pure doctrine of the Bible. And now he's being threatened with being declared an outlaw who could suffer torture, death by burning at the stake. On this day in 1521, Martin Luther gave his very famous "Here I Stand" speech before the emperor. This is the king of the entire empire. His name was Charles V. He was asked to recant his writings, and in the end, Luther would not recant. But he said on this very day, 500 years ago, April 18th, 1521, "Unless I am convinced by the testimony of Scripture or by clear reason, for I do not trust either in the Pope or in councils alone, since it is well known that they have often erred and contradicted themselves, I am bound by the Scriptures I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the Word of God. I cannot and I will not retract anything, since it is neither safe nor right to go against conscience. I cannot do otherwise. Here I stand. May God help me. Amen." The Lord continued to shepherd Martin Luther. He was declared an outlaw. That meant that it was now illegal for people to supply for his needs, to feed him, or to give him a place to stay. Many had wanted to do what they had done to others that were declared heretics, and that is, they wanted Luther to be burned at the stake. Luther's friends staged a kidnapping when Luther was traveling back to Wittenberg after this famous "Here I Stand" speech. And when they kidnapped him, they brought him to the Wartburg Castle, where he would stay then for the next 10 months. While Luther was there, hiding in this castle, not where he wanted to be with the people, he continued to write and to teach through his writings. And he translated the entire New Testament from Greek into German. While others had done some Bible translating before Luther, they took a Bible translation that is Latin instead of going back to the Bible's original languages. Luther's translation became the standard for others as they translated the Bible into other languages. This word gives us a revelation of who our true good shepherd is, reveals to us the one and only good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I know him and he knows me. We know him because we hear the voice of our good shepherd. Our Lord, who is very personal, speaks to each of us. We can understand him, for he speaks to us in our own language. He doesn't use foreign tongues or clangs of cymbals to communicate, but instead he speaks to us in English, our language, just as the apostles at Pentecost spoke in the language of the people. And so we hear the wonderful works of God in English. We hear that Jesus paid for our sins on the cross, and he rose triumphantly from the grave. Our good shepherd knows us personally. He loves us and laid down his life for us. He feeds us and grants us life. He lives, and so shall we. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.